It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. As always, thanks for joining us. And today, our special Science and Reason edition of Forward Nation Radio, inspired as we've been this week by certain events in science and depressed as we've been, as usual, by certain events in lack of reason, we've decided to devote a show where we will talk about science and reason and logic and apply it to the news of the day and bring in some of the reasoning fallacies we've discussed in the past to boot. Science in Trump's America. Woman's never-ending search for truth and knowledge and to push the boundaries of human thought and existence. And some men's never-ending quest to stop such nonsense. Welcome to the continuing battle over reason, where only Forward Nation Radio dares to ask the question nobody else is asking. The Enlightenment, good thing or bad thing? We will look at the news in this context, and we will talk about people who believe, perhaps, that the Enlightenment was not such a good thing. We start today's show in space, figuratively, not literally, with the little spacecraft that could. The Cassini spacecraft ends its 20-year run around Saturn, right around the time you're probably listening to this show, with a fiery flame out as it plunges through Saturn's atmosphere. Cassini, its 5-year mission to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly... Wait a minute. No, that's the Enterprise. Sorry. Strike that. It's not Star Trek, but it's pretty damn cool anyway. It doesn't need to be science fiction because the science in this case is pretty damn exciting. Cassini has been traveling around the planet Saturn. More than 750 million miles from Trump's America. To give you an idea of 750 million miles, that's 8 times the distance of the Earth to the Sun. Light takes 80 minutes to go from Saturn to Trump's America, where Trump's lead science advisors can say, Saturn? What's a Saturn? It has been on a 20-year mission where it has traveled, all told, 4.9 billion miles with a B. I can't even do the math on that one for how far away it is from the sun. But I can tell you that if you were driving on the highway, you'd be driving about 100 million hours. Or if you were driving on the Long Island Expressway, 100 billion hours in order to get there. It has performed 294 orbits of Saturn. It has photographed its moons and its rings from all different angles. It has taken more than 500,000 pictures, 630 gigabytes of scientific data have been recorded. I'm not sure what a gigabyte is, but I know it's a lot. It has provided material that will keep scientists busy for years and years. Two of its 62 moons are now seen as the places in our solar system most likely to harbor life, on Titan and Enceladus. And future missions will be exploring that. It is remarkable to think of what human beings were able to accomplish, what this spacecraft was able to accomplish. I am reminded that I am a liberal, a progressive, because I feel empathy. I feel bad for the poor little thing as it ends its life in a fireball. I can understand how the people who've been working with it for so long must feel a certain amount of grief over its loss. The wonders of science, we are reminded, are remarkable. Woman's thirst for knowledge desire to explore is inspiring. You look at people who thirst for more knowledge and you think, amazing. I think of being a business major and say, what was I thinking? And you feel bad for the people stuck on the ground here who are averse to science and knowledge and learning, who put superstition ahead of knowledge. I feel bad for them and the lost them, because superstition is not nearly as cool or as exciting as science. But mostly I feel bad for me, because those people vote. So let's come back to Earth, and we'll start by talking again about DACA. I hope you watched, had a chance to see the show last week, and our guest, our very own Mariana Arias-Patino, and her discussion, her heartfelt discussion and experience with DACA, and putting a human face on it. We hope that soon you will be sharing your videos with us at Forward Nation Radio about your experiences with DACA. More of that to come, and please check our website for information. We talked about DACA, and we talked about the fact that there are gray areas here where reasonable people can differ. That through no fault of their own, these people were brought to this country illegally. And we are somewhat reluctant to just put our imprimatur on law breaking, as minor and as understandable as it might be. But of course, this is America, and that's not the reasonable discussion we are having about why compassion, empathy, and the good of the United States says that we should be welcoming these people and giving them a pathway to citizenship and work in school. Since that seems to be the reasonable argument, the administration has to come up with something different. And I want to focus a little bit on our Attorney General, and yes, it still pains me to say that, but Jeff Sessions announcing the policy, because Donald Trump didn't have the balls to do it himself, talked basically about DACA by lying one time after another. Carl Sandburg famously said, if facts are against you, argue the law. If the law is against you, argue the facts. If the law and the facts are against you, pound the table and yell like hell. I'm not sure exactly when he said that, but I think it was before Fox News. Because now you have a better option when the facts and the law are against you. I mean, you have a couple of options. One, you could buy a judge. Hello, Neil Gorsuch, new Supreme Court Justice. But you can also start your own news channel. And you can make up facts. And you can lie to people. And you could try to win an argument, not by arguing facts or law, but in the infamous words of Kellyanne Conway, alternative facts. In other words, you lie to people who don't have the judgment or the knowledge to know that you're lying to them. But let's talk about one of the lies that Attorney General Sessions shared with us when he came out to attack DACA. I want to get into this by going into history a little bit. A few years ago, and it wasn't that long, oh, the good old days, when Mitt Romney was the Republican candidate for president running against Barack Obama. And Mitt Romney gave an example of an extension error, as we defined it weeks ago and since. An extension error is when you misrepresent the other side's argument in order to make it look less credible, less persuasive. So Mitt Romney famously said, Democrats believe that the amount of wealth in the world is a fixed sum, and that if some people have more, that means everybody else is having less. That happens to not be true. That's called a zero-sum game. And the argument was Democrats believe that the wealth in this country is a zero-sum game. Well, Romney was right, actually. That's not true. And what's not true is that any Democrat actually said that or believed that. that the total sum of the wealth in this country is fixed, and if some people have more, other people have less. It's bullshit. It's an extension error. It's misstating the other side's position to make it look ridiculous. Who would engage in such a ridiculous argument, such a ridiculous zero-sum game, that the amount of wealth in the world is fixed, and if some have more, others don't? Well, welcome to Attorney General Jeff Sessions and the Republican Party. One of the lies he told when announcing the Trump policy on DACA was that these dreamers are taking the jobs of American citizens. Well, that whole argument proposes a zero-sum game. There are only so many jobs in this country, and if they are going to undocumented immigrants, dreamers, then they are not going to Americans. So in other words, what the fallacy that Romney pointed out is being used by his own party, his own administration at this point. The better argument and the evidence shows, What's evidence? The evidence shows that in fact dreamers contribute to the economy in such a way as to grow the economy that everybody is better off. Now, if one were to look at that true fact, at least that overwhelming at this point consensus, then that changes the argument entirely. And that's why you have to lie. Well, here's a clue, faithful listeners. I'm often asked, how do you know when someone's telling you the truth? How do you know when someone's lying? How do you know who to believe? Well, it's hard to know when someone's lying, although if you sit down and think about it, sometimes lies do kind of call attention to themselves. But here's the people whose arguments you might want to lean in favor of. The people who don't have to tell lies to win an argument. If you have the weight of the argument on your side, you can tell the truth. You can tell facts. You can engage in reason and thought and scientific inquiry. If you don't, you have to make shit up. Which brings us, of course, to our next reasoning fallacy, which is implicated by this. And it's the concept, again, of false equivalency, which has become so commonplace, it's now fortunately being uttered everywhere. Well, the Republicans don't always tell the truth, but everybody's the same. All politicians are the same. All journalists lie. Everybody lies. But that's bullshit. I'm not even going to say necessarily at this point that Democrats or liberals have a moral superiority to conservatives. They do, but I'm not going to say it. Liberals don't have to lie because the weight of the evidence on most issues at this point in time with the Trump administration on all issues, supports their beliefs. So they don't have to lie. So Fox News is not, as we have said many times on this show, the equivalent of MSNBC or vice versa. Rachel Maddow tells the truth and brings a liberal or progressive perspective to it. Fox News makes shit up. And they're not the same. So, speaking of making shit up, we've got Trump's Commission on Electoral Integrity, or, as it's more correctly known, Commission on Stopping Brown People from Voting. Chris Kobach, the head of the commission, who is a paid columnist for Breitbart, writes for Breitbart saying he has proof of voter fraud in New Hampshire. That, in fact, over 5,000 people voted in New Hampshire with out-of-state IDs, hence proof that they Democrats stole a Senate seat and probably stole the state away from Donald Trump. Pretty inflammatory argument from the head of the Electoral Fraud Commission. You might think he, for instance, looked into whether there was any truth to what he was saying. The premise of what he was saying was that people voted with out-of-state IDs. The problem is, people can vote with out-of-state IDs, like, for instance, college students. And he just assumed that all those people voted illegally. It turns out, apparently they didn't. At least the ones who other people, journalists, people who deal in truth, actually asked, took the time to ask, how did you vote? What is your claim to voting? And it turns out the ones who were checked into hadn't voted illegally. This is the head of Trump's commission, dealing in lies. Why? Because the truth doesn't help. Inquiry doesn't help. Facts don't help. Also, regarding the voting commission, an employee of the Heritage Foundation. The Heritage Foundation is a so-called think tank that basically spouts the Republican line and uses tendentious arguments to promote Republican policies. A member of the Heritage Foundation sent an email to Attorney General Sessions. This was uncovered by the legal arm of People for the American Way, an organization worth supporting. Sent an email to Jeff Sessions warning that the Commission on Electoral Integrity would be, quote, an abject failure if the commission included Democrats or mainstream Republican officials and or academics. Should I repeat that? The commission would be an abject failure if it included anyone, the Electoral Integrity Commission would be an abject failure if it included anyone with, what's the word? Integrity. And yet we're still going to keep hearing from them. And people are going to be speaking about them. Well, we can learn something from this at least. There might be a meeting of the minds here. Yes, there are some arguments and some Republicans are all about law and order, and that may be some of their motivation regarding the Dreamers. Doesn't seem to apply to billionaire corporate executives, but whatever. Maybe they're big on law and order, at least for the underprivileged. But here we have an opportunity to tell who in the Republican Party is mostly motivated by bigotry, that America is simply not white enough anymore, and which of the Republican Party plays to those people who believe that, but really is just about maintaining their own power and their own influence. Speaking of you, Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan, here's a way to drive a wedge in them. There's room for an agreement on DACA. Maybe every DACA recipient could just agree to get two brown-skinned Americans who have the right to vote to agree not to vote in return for being able to stay in America. That presumably would make half the Republican Party happy, because they'd accomplish their main goal, which is to win elections by stopping people who might vote for Democrats from voting. But of course, the blatant bigots would still have a problem with that. So last week we were reporting on Hurricane Harvey. This week we're reporting on Hurricane Irma. And a little bit on an earthquake in Mexico that was of catastrophic size. We talked about how people were laid, the anti-government activists were laid low a little bit by having to plead for federal aid. How pathetic and disgraceful Ronald Reagan's nine words, the most terrible words in the English language, I'm here from the I'm from the government and I'm here to help. Ha ha, funny jackass. Maybe people can actually use help and it's not so funny. Irma left a path of destruction in her wake. Barbuda, the island of Barbuda most famously, is right in the path of the hurricane. 60% of the people on the island are homeless. 95% of the structures are destroyed. Dozens are dead. A couple of days ago, I heard the Prime Minister or President of Barbuda, whatever he was, say that the island is absolutely vacant at this point. Everyone has been moved off the island. Maybe we should be having a conversation about, I don't know, climate change and what storms like this will do in the future and how we limit the threat and how we respond to such storms. But no, no, no. Scott Pruitt, our Environmental Protection Agency head, our avatar, our leader for the environment, says, this is not the time to talk about climate change. Just like the wake of the Sandy Hook Elementary School shooting was not the time to talk about gun control. When is it the time to talk about climate change, Scott Pruitt? Let's all say it with me. Never. It's never time to talk about climate change because inconvenient facts are best just ignored. This is when you need competent government. This is when it would be nice to have the head of FEMA, the head of federal agencies, know what they're doing. Speaking of heads of federal agencies, Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke on Fox and Friends. No, really. The Interior Secretary of the United States was on Fox and Friends. I guess the president was busy. Speaking about the 9/11 memorial, moron number three asked him, do you worry that 100 years from now, someone's going to try to take that memorial down like they're trying to remake our memorials today? Did the Interior Secretary respond by saying, do you ever look in the mirror and see a moron staring back at you? No. He said, well, I'm one that believes that, you know, we should learn from history. Zinke replied, presumably, and he will elaborate on this in a moment, not learn to take the fucking monuments to slavery and racism down. No, I think our monuments are part of our country's history. We can learn from it. And then he finished with, since we don't put up statues of Jesus, everyone's going to fall morally short. I'm not even sure what I could add on that. That's not going to sound like an attack on religion. Probably because I'm going to attack religion. Really? I had a student in class, a really good kid, a few years ago, when I was talking about religion and society and how it relates to knowledge and learning. And he raised his hand and said, but professor, don't we get our morals from religion? Isn't that what makes us moral? And I said, that's a very good point, which is why I believe that Osama bin Laden is the most moral person on the planet. To which he, of course, replied, oh, good point. The idea that we get our morals from religion is mostly offensive and ridiculous, and in fact, as we should be learning today, religion is the best reason for people, is the justification for people to be immoral and believe that what they're doing is fine. But in any event, the Interior Secretary of the United States is on some second-rate jackass talk show and invokes Jesus and the fact that we're falling morally short. Where is the moral outrage in this country after this? Where do people rise up and say, fire this jackass? Fox and Friends? We're busy hearing on Fox News now about the alternative left, the alt-left. Because there's the alt-right that's been giving them a black eye, so you have to make shit up to make yourself look better. A false equivalence. There's an alt-right, there must be an alt-left of evil people. Yes, there might be an alt-right of evil, hate-filled bigots. But you know, there are hate-filled not bigots too, and they're just as bad. What's with all these not bigots? Anti-bigots. And we make this an equivalent. This is ridiculous. Anyway, Trump has been bowing to the religious community. When people say Trump hasn't accomplished a whole lot in this country, no, we haven't passed a lot through Congress, but that jackass and his moron administration of incompetence and crooks have been doing a lot to promote a religious worldview. Once again, America responds to the existential threat posed by religious extremists who will kill people because of their certainty that they are right with, our God could beat up your God. It's okay. I was discussing in class today. Republicans in the Trump administration believe that government in your bedroom is fine. Coming soon to a theater near you, it will probably, when the Supreme Court gets a hold of this, it may be legal again for states to ban sexual positions and different sexual acts. So it's okay for government to come in your bedroom if you're a Republican, tell you you can't use contraceptives. They've already talked about doing that one. But government shouldn't be telling companies they can't dump toxic sludge into your water. Is this really the way you view the role of government? To come into your bedroom, but to not to tell corporations not to kill people? Which big government do you want? Okay, we're not completely done with Russia. Russia's back on the table. We're still waiting for all the reports to come out, but stuff does leak through periodically. This week, a Facebook study came out and conceded that the Russians had used Facebook to influence the election. Mark Zuckerberg had come out months ago and stated emphatically, Facebook did not allow Russians to influence the election. Again, false news, false information, because Republicans can't win an election with reasoned argument. They have to make shit up. A People for the American Way lawsuit now is seeking to force the disclosure of the alleged FBI directions to Jeff Sessions, which he now states is the reason he didn't disclose his contacts with Russia. Oh, I was told by the FBI not to disclose my contacts. So People for the American Way is suing. It should be easy enough to provide that information. Keep seated for this one. And finally, Hillary Clinton has come out with her book about the election and what happened. And I'm sure that the right will all be up in arms. This is an opportunity once again to accuse any Democrat of being a crybaby, the favorite conservative response, because it emasculates people, and that's what they're all about. If you think with your balls and not your brain, emasculation is the worst thing you can do to somebody. So we will be hearing Clinton attacked because she had the nerve to make excuses for why she lost. There's only one problem with that. She's right. Her excuses are correct, and they're worth pointing out because they're worth addressing in the future. Like stopping Russia from throwing the election. Like maybe the head of the FBI should not throw the election. I'm reminded of the vitriol and the bullshit that has been lobbed at Hillary Clinton over the years. She's not my favorite person, but I like her a hell of a lot more than most people, and I feel real sorry for her, for what she has had to undergo since she entered public life. Because knowing that she was someone that they were going to have to beat, they've been throwing every lie at her they could for years and years and years. It's a win-win for Republican. Either the lies stick, or either way, you have to refute the lies, in which case they get to call you a whiner and a crybaby. Like they did swift-voting American war hero John Kerry, so that voters can vote for the war deserter, George Bush, rather than the winner of three Purple Hearts. Just create false facts and a false environment, because you've got absolutely nothing else to offer to people. That's our show for today. Thanks, as always, for listening. Like Looking Forward, go to forwardnationradio.com. That's forwardnationradio.com, and get the full experience. You'll see the video from this and every episode there and on our YouTube channel as well. Don't miss the next Forward Nation Radio podcast on Podbean at podbean.com. If you love what you heard, like what you heard, tolerate what you heard, like us on Facebook, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel. As I've noted before, we're on a push to raise our subscriptions to the YouTube channel. Please share us with your friends and ask them to subscribe. Tell your friends, spread the word. Forward Nation Radio. See you next week.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.